All right, so you want to take a deep dive into whether Microsoft is really following the EU's AI Act?
Yeah, it's a big question, right? I mean, the AI Act is a really big deal.
Huge. Probably the biggest change in tech regulation we've seen in a long time. And you want to know if the big players are actually going to, follow the
Well, that's
rules.
why a company like Microsoft that's, so deep into AI, they've got a lot riding on this.
Yeah, for sure. And you've given us some really interesting sources to dig into. We've got a bunch of articles and reports about the AI Act itself.
Right.
And then we've got these documents directly from Microsoft,
Yeah.
like their statement on innovating in line with the European Union's AI Act and their code of conduct for generative AI.
Yeah, it's like getting a peek behind the curtain, right? Seeing how they're trying to put this into practice.
Exactly. So our goal here is to figure out, are they just saying the right things, or are they actually doing the work to make sure their AI is, responsible?
Yeah, walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
So for our listeners who might not be totally familiar with the AI Act, can we just start with a quick overview, like, what are the main things people should know?
Absolutely. So the EU AI Act, it actually goes into full effect this year.
This year, wow.
Yeah, it's the first comprehensive law on AI anywhere in the world.
It's a big deal.
It is. And it basically tries to manage the risks of AI by classifying different AI systems based on how much potential harm they could cause.
Okay, so kind of like a risk rating system.
Exactly. So some AI is just considered unacceptable and it's completely banned by the act.
Like what kind of stuff?
Well, like social scoring systems.
Oh, yeah, where governments use AI to rank their citizens, like in China.
Exactly. The act sees that as way too risky. Too much potential for abuse.
Yeah, that does sound kind of dystopian.
Right. Then you have high-risk AI systems,
Okay.
which are allowed, but they face really strict regulations.
So, like, what kind of AI would fall into that category?
Well, things like AI used in healthcare, transportation, law enforcement, areas where if the AI makes a mistake, the consequences could be really serious.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, like, if a company wants to use AI to help doctors make diagnoses, that AI would have to go through a ton of testing and meet very specific safety standards before it could ever be used in a hospital.
Exactly. And there's also a big emphasis on transparency throughout the act.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, even AI systems that aren't considered high risk, like chatbots or things that generate content, they have to be upfront about the fact that they're AI.
So, no more AI pretending to be human.
Right, exactly. It's all about being clear and open about how AI is being used.
So that's the EU AI Act in a nutshell.
Yeah, basically.
And Microsoft, they're obviously a huge player in AI.
Oh, yeah, one of the biggest.
So how are they responding to this whole new set of rules? Their statement makes it sound like they're taking it seriously.
Yeah, on the surface, they're definitely saying all the right things about responsible AI and building compliance into their systems from the ground up.
Okay, but that's what we want to figure out, right? Are they just talking the talk, or are they actually taking concrete steps to back up those claims?
Exactly. And that's where their document, Innovating in Line with the European Union's AI Act, gets really interesting because it tries to lay out exactly how they're approaching compliance.
Okay, so let's dive into that document. What are some of the key things you picked up on?
One thing that stood out to me was their emphasis on risk management. They're saying they're assessing risks throughout the entire life cycle of their AI systems.
Okay, so from the initial design phase all the way through to deployment and even ongoing monitoring.
Yeah, they're not just looking at risk once and then forgetting about it. It's a continuous process.
That sounds pretty comprehensive,
Yeah.
but how do they actually go about assessing those risks? What does that look like in practice?
Well, they mentioned using something called red teaming as part of their risk assessment process.
Red teaming, what's that?
So it's basically where an independent team tries to find weaknesses and potential problems with an AI system.
So, like, they're deliberately trying to break it to see where it could go wrong.
Exactly. It's like having a dedicated devil's advocate for their AI.
I like that, a devil's advocate for AI.
And the goal is to find those issues before the AI is released into the world where those vulnerabilities could actually have real-world consequences.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It's like a stress test, but for ethics and safety instead of just technical performance.
Exactly. And they also talk about using something called classifiers in Azure AI Content Safety.
Classifiers. Okay, I'm not familiar with that.
So imagine you're building an AI that generates text, like for a chatbot.
Okay.
You want to make sure that chatbot doesn't start saying offensive things or, spewing out hate speech.
Yeah, that would be bad.
So these classifiers are like filters.
Okay.
They're trained on huge amounts of data to recognize patterns that are associated with harmful content.
So it's like an AI watchdog constantly scanning the output of other AI systems to make sure they don't step out of line.
Exactly. A really proactive approach to preventing their AI from generating content that could violate the act.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it is.
So we've got risk assessments, AI watchdogs. What about transparency? How are they addressing that whole part of the AI Act?
Right. Well, that's where their transparency notes come in. They're committing to providing these detailed documents for all their AI systems,
Okay.
explaining how they work, what their limitations are, any potential risks associated with using them.
So it's like an instruction manual for their AI, but with a focus on the ethical side of things.
Exactly. And they're saying they're going to make these transparency notes publicly available so anyone can understand how their AI works and what safeguards are in place.
That's great, but transparency is only really effective if those notes are actually understandable, right? Like,
Yeah.
are they written in plain language, or is it all super technical jargon that only a computer scientist could decipher?
Yeah, that's a really good question and something we should definitely dig into later because it's one thing to provide information, but it's another to make sure the information is accessible and meaningful to a wide audience.
Totally. So they're putting in technical safeguards, they're talking about transparency. What about their own employees? Are they doing anything to make sure their own developers are on board with all of this?
Yeah, they're addressing that too. They've updated their internal company policies to specifically say that you can't develop AI systems that violate the AI Act.
So no rogue AI projects happening in some secret lab.
Not if they're following their own rules.
Right, and they're even going a step further by updating their contracts and codes of conduct for outside developers and customers who use their AI tools.
Yeah, they're really trying to make it clear that you can't use their AI for unethical purposes.
It's one thing to say, hey, don't do bad things with our AI, but it's another to actually put those restrictions into legal agreements. That seems like a pretty strong commitment.
It does, and they're also providing tools and resources to help their customers comply with the act, like that Azure AI content safety thing we talked about.
Okay, so it sounds like they are taking some concrete steps,
Yeah.
but big tech companies have a history of making promises they don't always keep.
Yeah, definitely.
What are some potential red flags we should be looking out for?
I think the biggest one is just making sure that these initiatives are actually being implemented effectively. We can't just take their word for it. We need to look critically at what they're actually doing.
Right, because the devil is in the details.
Exactly. And we also need to think about how the AI Act will actually be enforced in practice. That's where things could get really interesting.
All right, well, let's dive into those questions next. So we talked about Microsoft's commitment to responsible AI and some of the things they're doing to line up with the EU AI Act. But I'm curious, what kind of roadblocks do you think they might hit, actually trying to make all this happen?
Well, right off the bat, one challenge I see is just how complicated the AI Act is itself. I mean, there are like over 60 supporting regulations and guidelines, and they're still being developed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a huge piece of legislation with so many moving parts.
That sounds like a compliance nightmare, even for a company with, Microsoft's resources.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just about understanding the rules, it's figuring out how to actually put them to practice, how to weave them into their workflows, and then how to adapt as new guidelines come out.
It's like trying to hit a moving target.
Exactly. And then there's the problem of interpretation. The AI Act sets out these big principles and requirements, but there's always going to be some wiggle room when it comes to actually applying those principles to specific situations.
So what one person sees as a clear violation, someone else might see as like a gray area.
Right, and that opens the door for arguments and maybe even legal battles.
And I bet those debates could get pretty heated when you're talking about AI in sensitive areas like law enforcement or healthcare.
Oh, definitely. The stakes are so high in those areas, and the potential for harm, whether it's intentional or accidental, is huge.
Yeah, it puts a lot of pressure on companies like Microsoft to get it right. And I imagine it's tough to balance that need for innovation with making sure AI is being used responsibly.
Yeah, it's a constant balancing act.
And there's always the risk of unintended consequences, right?
Oh, absolutely. Even with the best intentions, an AI system could end up having a negative impact.
Like they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to keep monitoring and evaluating things. It's not enough to just check for risks at the beginning.
Right.
You need to keep an eye on how those AI systems are actually being used out in the real world and be ready to make changes as needed.
It's like early release often, but for AI safety.
Yeah, constantly monitoring and tweaking things.
And it's not just about Microsoft monitoring its own systems, right? They also have to think about how their customers might be using their AI tools.
Exactly. And that's where things get even trickier because Microsoft can't control every single application of their technology once it's out there.
Right, it's out of their hands.
And that brings up some really tough questions about accountability. Like, let's say a customer takes a Microsoft AI model and modifies it for their own use, and that modified model ends up violating the AI Act.
Okay.
Who's to blame? Is it Microsoft for creating the original model, or is it the customer for changing it?
Yeah, that line can get pretty blurry.
It can, and that's something the EU is going to have to figure out as they start enforcing the AI Act. How do you decide where one person's responsibility ends and another one begins?
It's like a legal and ethical puzzle.
It is, and the outcome of these cases could really shape the whole AI landscape for years to come.
We've been talking a lot about risk assessment and, you know, trying to prevent bad things from happening, but let's go back to those transparency notes for a minute. How effective do you think those will be in actually achieving real transparency?
Yeah, well, that's the big question, isn't it? Transparency is great in theory, but it only really works if those notes are understandable to a wide audience.
Yeah, if they're full of technical jargon and complex algorithms, then they're not really going to help regular people understand how these AI systems work, are they?
Right, they could end up just being a PR move instead of a genuine attempt to inform the public.
So what would make those transparency notes really effective? What should we be looking for to know if Microsoft is really being transparent?
I think there are a few key things. First, the language needs to be clear and straightforward. No unnecessary jargon.
Right, keep it simple.
The goal should be to explain even complex ideas in a way that anyone can
I
grasp.
can explain it like I'm five.
Exactly. And it's not just about simplifying the language, it's about giving people the right context. So don't just describe what the AI does, explain why it does it, what data it learned from, and what kind of biases it might have.
Because without that context, you can't really understand the potential risks and limitations of the AI, right?
Exactly. And finally, those transparency notes need to be easy to find and search through.
So not buried in some technical document on their website.
Exactly. They need to be front and center presented in a way that makes people want to actually engage with them.
It's like the difference between hiding something in the fine print and putting it in bold letters on the front page.
Right. Real transparency means being proactive, not just checking a box.
So we've talked about some potential challenges and what real transparency might look like. But the big question is Microsoft actually putting all this into practice? Are they walking the walk when it comes to the EU AI Act?
Well, it's still early days. We've seen their statements and some of the steps they're taking, but the real test will be how all of this plays out in the long run.
So what should we be watching for in the coming months and years to know if they're really living up to the spirit of the AI Act? What are the signs of success or failure?
Well, one thing to look for is how they respond to scrutiny and feedback. Are they open to having their AI systems audited by outsiders? Are they willing to talk to critics and address concerns in a transparent and accountable way?
Because if they're serious about responsible AI, they should welcome that kind of scrutiny, not shy away from it.
Exactly. We should also be looking for concrete examples of how they're dealing with risks and potential harm. Are their risk assessments actually leading to changes in how they design and use their AI? Are they doing anything to address bias and discrimination in their algorithms?
Because actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely. And finally, I think we need to pay close attention to how the EU actually enforces the AI Act.
Yeah.
Will those national watchdogs we talked about have the power and resources to hold companies like Microsoft accountable?
Because even the best regulations are only as good as their enforcement.
Exactly. The next few years are going to be a crucial test for both Microsoft and the EU as they figure out this new era of AI regulation.
It's going to be fascinating to see how it all unfolds. Speaking of things to watch, I noticed Microsoft also has this Code of Conduct for Generative AI document. I'm curious to see how that fits into all of this. Let's dig into that next.
All right, so we've talked about the EU's AI Act and how Microsoft says they're going to follow it. We even looked at some potential problems they might run into, but you also pointed out this code of conduct for generative AI from Microsoft. What's the deal with that document, and how does it tie into everything else we've been talking about?
Well, this code of conduct, it's interesting because it zooms in on how Microsoft is handling responsible AI, specifically when it comes to generative AI.
Right. Generative AI, it's like the hot topic right now with things like ChatGPT.
Exactly. It's everywhere, and everyone's trying to figure out what the rules should be.
So, what are some of the big ideas in Microsoft's code of conduct?
Well, one of the main things is accountability. They're saying that the people who make generative AI systems are responsible for what those systems produce, even if it's something unexpected or unintended.
So, no more saying, oh, we didn't know our AI would do that. Right. They're basically saying you got to take steps to prevent harm, before it happens, not just react after the fact.
Makes sense. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And they also talk about transparency, which is something we talked about earlier with those transparency notes. But in this code of conduct, they take it a step further. They're pushing for what they call meaningful transparency.
Okay, so what does that mean, meaningful transparency, mm-hmm. for generative AI? What makes it different?
It's about going beyond just giving information. It's about making that information understandable and useful. So they're saying you got to explain how the AI works, what data it was trained on, what limitations it has, and what biases it might have.
So it's not just about telling people what the AI can do. It's about helping them understand how it gets its results, mm-hmm. and what might be influencing those results.
Exactly. And they're also saying you got to give clear instructions on how to use generative AI responsibly and ethically.
Because even if the technology itself is good, it can still be used for bad things if people don't understand it right.
Exactly. And they even go so far as to say that some uses of generative AI are just plain wrong, even if they're not technically against the law.
Wow. So they're setting their own ethical standards that go above and beyond what the AI Act requires.
Yeah, it seems like they're really trying to show that they're serious about responsible AI.
But of course, the real test is whether they actually follow through on all of this.
Right. Actions speak louder than words.
It is good to see them taking these steps, though, and putting these ethical guidelines out there.
Ooh.
It sets a good example for the rest of the tech world.
I agree. And it'll be interesting to see how this code of conduct changes as generative AI keeps evolving. It's a fast-moving field, and these ethical questions are only going to get more complicated.
So where does all of this leave us? We've explored the EU AI Act, we've looked at Microsoft's plans to follow it, and we've even talked about their own code of conduct for generative AI. What's the main takeaway for our listeners? What should they be thinking about as they try to make sense of this whole new world of AI?
I think the big takeaway is that this is a really important moment for AI. The technology is advancing so quickly, and it has the power to change our world in huge ways, both good and bad.
It's a powerful tool that can be used for good or for bad. It all depends on how we decide to use it.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to have these discussions about ethics, responsibility, and accountability. We need to set clear rules for how AI is developed and used. And we need to make sure that companies like Microsoft are following those rules.
It's a responsibility we all share, really. Companies, policymakers, and even regular people. We all have a part to play in shaping the future of AI and making sure it's something that benefits everyone.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great point to wrap things up on.
I agree. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive. It's been a fascinating conversation.
Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, thanks for diving deep with us. Keep asking questions, keep learning, and keep pushing for an AI-powered future that's both innovative and ethical. Until next time.